Okay, so just a little bit of learning before we daven Maariv together. The truth of the matter is that it makes me think of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos talks about Arba Midos B'Holchei Beis HaMedrash, that there are four different categories amongst those who go into the Beis Medrash, and it talks about people who are Holchin Ve'en Anosin, that they, you know, take great efforts to get to the Beis Medrash, or the Beis Knesset, as it were. They don't do much once they're there, but Tzchar Halicha B'Yadam. And then, of course, the Mishnah says that in this Punnett square, so to speak, you have two variables, halicha and asiya, so that people that don't do anything, they're people who only do one or the other. So obviously the highest level is holchin ve'osin, so we should be here, and we should daven, and we should learn, and then we'll be in that category of the highest level, that's the chelek tov, holchin ve'osin. So we've been learning the Mishnayos and Masech Lamakos, it's like your second parak, dealing with the topic of Rotzeach Bishgaga, and so the last halacha that we covered is that you have to look at the situation that the Torah describes at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Asher Yavoes Re'eu Vayar Lachtov Eitzim. Person goes into the forest to chop down the trees. So the Gemara says, Machativas Eitzim Rishus Av Kol Rishus Lahosi Etz HaMitzvah. That if somebody's involved in a mitzvah, and God forbid they kill somebody by accident, so they're not going to be exiled to the Ir Miklat. So the Mishnah gave three examples. The first was Avu Beno, and a father is trying to instruct his son, either Torah, or to teach him proper Derech Eretz, or, less in fashion today, but equally important, to teach him to have a job. So the father is trying to teach his son what are those things, and accidentally he kills him. Well, again, we don't encourage parental, I'll leave it, each parent should decide for themselves, but certainly nothing excessive. But if a person would, God forbid, kill his son in that context, so they would not be subject to the din of Ir Miklat. The next example was along the same lines, a Rebbe and a Talmud. And the third example was the hardest one, was the case of the Shliach Bezdin. So remember the mention last night, the very Mechudash Shita of the Rambam against Rashi. Rashi just says, Shliach Bezdin, whoever's in charge of administering the 39 lashes. That's the person that's, God forbid, he kills somebody in the process, even though they estimated the person could really withstand 39 lashes. Or let's say they only say that he can take 18 lashes or 12 lashes. Always multiples of three. He didn't go over it at all. Rashi says he was involved in doing the mitzvah of v'ayayim bin hakos ha-rasha, of giving malchus to somebody who deserves malchus. That's also a mitzvah. So he shouldn't be subject to the din of Ir Miklat. So the Rambam had a unique view. The Rambam said about that, no, we're talking about somebody who's trying to bring a person who's recalcitrant back into the context of Beis Din or into compliance. So as the Pasuk says, shotim v'shotrim titanacha b'chol sharecha. So it's not somebody who's actually giving malchus, but a person who is one of the shotrim, as it were, who's trying to impose the law that the shoftim set down. We mentioned that the Ravid disagrees with that. The Ravid said, we never heard about such a case. And the Kesef Misha defends the Rambam, and he says, lo shamanu eino raya. You can't bring a raya just because you never heard of this before. You heard about it now. The Rambam said it. Why isn't that good enough for you? Apparently that wasn't good enough for the Ravid. And I mentioned that there are two different girsos, two different versions of the text of the Ravid, and this is the point I just wanted to focus on for today to continue the thought from yesterday. So the text that you have in many of the updated versions of the Ravid is Mimasha Amduhu Bezdin. That like Rashi, that the person is ministering lashes that have been determined by Bezdin. So that's a process called Umdana, that we determine that the individual can withstand 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, all the way up to a maximum of 39, and he was within that number. But if you look at other texts, older texts of the Ravid, it's Yoser Mimasha Amduhu Bezdin, which means that the Ravid would say about such a case that a person who's a Shliach Bezdin, who's involved in giving lashes, and they really said he can only take 18, and he's giving him 19, and 20, and 21. He thought this was a standard case of 39, and he kills the guy, so that person would be pater from going into the Ir Miklat because he was involved in a mitzvah. So that sounds pretty shocking, right? Because you would think that there was some very significant negligence involved. Maybe he shouldn't even deserve to go to the Ir Miklat, or maybe this is Karav L'mezid. Maybe the individual that's involved in this is over a very serious lav. In fact, the Torah, when it wants to say that you're not allowed to hit somebody, how do we know that? So if you look in the Rambam, the 365 prohibitions in the Torah, this is number 300, he learns it from the Psukim about Malkos, because the Pasuk says, Arba'im yakenu lo yosif, pen yosif lakosom akar rabba v'nikla achicha l'necha. So this is a very fascinating Ravid, if this is the correct text, that Yoser Mimasha Amdu Bezdin. So I think the only way to explain this Ravid, to say that there's really a shogig involved, is the individual really had no idea whatsoever that he had somehow been given the wrong information, but not that he knew that this was a person who could only withstand 27 lashes, then he goes above that, 28, 29, 30. How could you say that person is entitled to go to the Ir Miklat, even if it's in the broader context of a mitzvah? Certainly one would think that that's, at the very least, Karav L'mezid, if not murder outright. So again, Arbeim Yakenu Lo Yosef. If that's the proper gears in the Ravid, Yoser Mimasham Du Besin, you have to assume that the person just somehow wasn't given the proper instructions, the proper communication. And you can see why the more updated texts of the Ravid say Mimasham Du Besin. Because if it's Yoser Mimasham Du Besin, that becomes a very difficult concept in its own right. God willing, tomorrow what we're going to discuss is, which classes of individuals are subject to Ir Miklat. Let's say you have family members. We already talked about Avu Beno. Let's say you have people who have animus, longstanding animus, what we call the Psone. Let's say somebody who's not able to see, a Suma. The Torah says it has to be below Re'os. We have Machlokas or Meir or Yehuda to look forward to. And finally, what about different categories of individuals? It says in the Torah that the Arei Miklat, Tiena Lachem, are for the Jewish people. So if you have two non-Jews, so for sure the din of Ir Miklat doesn't apply. But let's say you have a Ger Toshev that's involved, and a Jew that's involved, and an Eved Knani, who's a quasi-Jewish status. Once he released, he's become a Jew. And Kuti, their conversion was subject to some questioning. They were called the Gerei Arayos. They became Jewish because they were afraid of the lions. They were attacking them. So tomorrow what we're going to deal with are the various classes of individuals that are subject or are not subject to the Ir Miklat. And then we'll get into the halachos of the Ir Miklat per se, what the city was like. So that's sort of the road ahead as we move forward. Rabbi Chanan ben Kasher, Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zach Yisrael, Efikach, Hirbam, Tamitzvah, Shenemar, Neichavet, Zaman, Tzidko, Yagdil, Terav, Yadir, Kaddish, Terabanan.